Greetings and welcome, lords and ladies. You are listening to Planet Vrilok, our new show, Psionics Digirati. And tonight I'm talking about conceptualizing and personifying forces or abstract ideas in magic. Ordinarily, this is a topic I reserve for my club members, and I'm going to go ahead and share this with you now because I think this is a very powerful methodology that's very much needed today. And the good news is this sort of work can be done by just about anybody who has a little bit of time, patience, and imagination, and you can use this to do all manner of great things in life. For yourself, for other people, and for the region that you live in. And by the way, on a personal note, thank you to my club member and longtime student, George, for these lovely gifts that you have sent me. I'll be doing a video about that coming up, and answering some of your questions about how things are going in my neck of the woods, and maybe touch base on what might be going on in your neck of the woods and what can be done to improve one's domain, as I like to call it. I once wrote, by the way, a role-playing game extension called Greed Master and Nine Portals RPG and Necroportal and the Necroverse. And Threshhaven, a number of fun role-playing extensions and RPG map enhancements and portal routers. And one of the concepts was called the domain. And that's basically an area, a radius, and perhaps a circumference of mental energy. When it is expanded, that territory becomes your domain. And so you have some influence and power over that domain. In today's world, this is rather important, and I've talked to my club members about this in various audio lectures and videos, that it's important while working on global matters also to pursue working on your own vicinity, your house, your home, where you live, your neighborhood, and your general region. Working on it with psionics, meditation, metaphysics, and improving your general area. Because if everybody does that, then you're going to see the world change in ways you've never seen before. A lot of times we're drawn out by issues happening elsewhere. For instance, I have a friend in Brazil who served in the military. He's very old now, but he's being prosecuted by his own country. And at the same time, he's dying. I won't disclose too much information there, but I will say that over a period of 5 years, we've done remote spiritual wellness for him, and he was able to walk for the first time in years, get out of his wheelchair and walk. Now he's back. And you know, bedridden. And, you know, I'm no God, right? I can't stop people from dying. It's part of the natural process. But we do try to make things better along the way. And we have. We've succeeded. But the time comes when things do come to a closing. And we have to be prepared for accepting the transition into that next world. Into the next life. And so there's other things like the global issues surrounding climate, weather warfare, water war, territorial disputes, ethnic disputes, and so on, religious wars, energy wars, the etheric wars. I covered that in an old video on YouTube. Look it up, the etheric wars. In the Vrilok channel, Vrilok TV, and so on. There's a young a soldier who has Down syndrome in Ukraine, who's being beaten and bullied by his fellow comrades, you know. And so I did some work to try to light a beacon for him, that by coincidence, as the fates and forces would have it, hopefully what happens is a light will guide him away, and while others who are his wicked perpetrators will be distracted or perhaps destroyed, he will be safely guided to a sanctuary, and their harassment and the bullying will stop. But we have to have two minds in life. While there's nothing wrong with helping other people, we also have to realize that, you know, life is the way it is, and it's tough, and sometimes we have to move forward, and it's okay to say no. If you can't afford the time, the money, the leisure at your expense to help other people, it's okay to say no, you can't do it, and you have to move forward. But when you can, hey, there's nothing wrong with helping other people. And I'm going to talk about some of the methodology tonight and how you can develop this ability. So we're talking about personifying forces or abstract concepts. For instance, peace, power, protection, prosperity, perhaps wealth. These can indeed be advantages for magicians, witches, or wizards to personify and give an identity to treat this force as being sentient. Let's explore some of the reasons why. Well, firstly, there's a symbolic connection. By personifying these abstract forces or concepts, magicians and wizards create a symbolic link between themselves and the concept of interest or purpose. This connection allows for us to tap into the essence of that force or concept much more effectively than treating the force as a primordial something, like a primordial ooze or a primitive force of the universe, the fire and the ice, for which I have talked about these various polarities in the universe many times. Fire and ice, venom, earth, sand, fire, wind, all of these things, water, and so on. If they're primitive and primordial, it sort of loses that connection with us. We need something to be personified to really sink our teeth into it and to have an actual coherent relationship with that force. So a wizard personifying peace, for example, might find it easier to calm chaotic situations or negotiate a peaceful resolution. A magician embodying the concept of power could channel immense energy for his various spells and rituals. Visualization is another point. Visualization and focus. Human minds, no doubt, often comprehend things far better when they have a form and identity. By personifying these forces, we can visualize them more vividly. And this clarifies, this clarity helps us in focusing our intent during our magical practices, be these psionics, psychotronics, radionics, or rituals, or meditation and mysticism. Now, a wizard invoking protection, for example, might visualize a guardian spirit, or perhaps a shield to ward off harm. And I think that, like, the guardian spirit has a bit more personality to it. We can really link to that. Whereas a shield, yes, it is visual, but it sort of lacks the personification. Both methods are good, but for long-term, more specific, or perhaps more diverse, I should say, pursuits, a guardian spirit might be better than working with an inanimate object such as a shield for warding off harm, danger, and difficult situations. Now, a magician seeking prosperity might imagine in his mind a benevolent deity, a deity of abundance. And this can work well for long-term relationships such as business or pursuing entrepreneurial ventures. Now, a third point is anthropomorphism. And that just basically means anything in a humanoid form that looks like us, be it a human being, an android, or a Bigfoot, okay? Assigning human-like qualities to abstract concepts makes these concepts relatable. As I've said, magicians can interact with these forces as if they were sentient beings. A wizard conversing with the embodiment of wealth might seek advice on financial matters. And because it's more personified, it lends that sentient quality that makes that connection. And it ceases to be so abstract. Now it's more solid. We can work with that, right? A magician invoking power could negotiate terms with a force, much like dealing with a powerful ally. Now, a fourth thing to consider is ritual and ceremony. Now, personification enhances the overall effectiveness of magical rituals and ceremony. When magicians address these forces as if these forces are conscious entities, this adds depth and potency to our practice. So a wizard invoking peace might perform a serene meditation or light some candles representing the tranquility and calling up an entity of like forces, like qualities. A magician seeking prosperity could create an altar, perhaps adorned with symbols of abundance, and invoke a spirit of prosperity. And again, personify that entity. Personify that force into an entity of some kind. Now, fifth consideration is psychological empowerment. Belief is the first step in magic. Believing that these forces have personalities and intentions empowers you. It boosts our confidence and our conviction. So, a wizard who personifies power feels more capable and perhaps takes on some of the qualities of an authoritative force. A magician who interacts with the embodiment of wealth gains a sense of control over that wealth and the external financial circumstances. And this is done, again, by personifying an abstract concept or a force, making it something more solid and tangible we can deal with. Another consideration is storytelling and tradition. Personification is deeply ingrained in magical lore and mythology. Albeit, ancient text and folklore often depict forces as gods and goddesses or various other nature spirits. You've heard of perhaps dryads and gnomes, elves, perhaps, maybe. And this is one example of folklore depicting forces as sentient beings or spirits. Now, a wizard invoking protection might follow some ancient rituals dedicated to these protective deities. I've talked about this before. The Romans had their various vessels and believed that every home had an actual entity that belonged to that home to protect and look out over the welfare of that family, right? A magician seeking power might draw inspiration from legendary figures associated with strength. Such as Hercules, who in legend chased the evil giants out of Crete, and they fled to the northern countries. In summary, personification enriches the magical experience and provides a tangible framework for understanding abstract forces, and it allows magicians and wizards to forge deeper connections with the mystical realms. Now, how about some examples of what kind of characters we might draw upon from fiction? Yes, fictional characters that inspire us mentally, emotionally, and perhaps even spiritually, are very powerful tools. Now, I was a fan of Robotech back in the day, which comes from the Japanese Macross. And so, if I were projecting something in terms of power of music as a force, which, for example, many times when I've used the Miraculous Prayer Board and lay my hands on the coils, I would use music as a tool to help me project powerful emotional energy along with my mental construct. So I might borrow a character such as Lin Min Mei for courage and uniting unity among humans, even unity among foreign forces, for instance. So perhaps bringing some kind of resolution to the problems between Russia and Ukraine, for instance. Could be an embodiment or personification of Lin Min Mei, right? The voice of the singer, this character, would be a magical conduit which reaches out to people's feelings and uplifting spirits, igniting determination. Or perhaps emotional resilience in the face of great despair, despite chaos and war, maintaining a youthful spirit of dreaming and optimism, emotional resilience, vulnerability. These are not necessarily weaknesses. As my former mentor once said, as you study yourself, as you study your strengths and weaknesses, you may find that these are one and the same. Just as a different end of the same pillar, different polarities. So these emotional strengths can become magical forces, allowing you to connect with others on a whole new profound level. We could also use that character as a humanity's cultural identity. Hope and unity, transformation and influence. So we might say that as a fictional deity, Min Mei magically personifies music, emotional resilience, cultural identity, hope, unity, and transformation. A character who transcends from mere stardom, becoming a symbol of humanity's spirit in the face of great adversity. There are other characters as well that we can draw on. From Robotech. Elisa Hayes, a remarkable character from that Robotech universe, embodies several qualities and forces that resonate with magic and mysticism. We can delve into that if you'd like. Determination and resilience is by far one of Lisa's highest qualities, unwavering commitment to her duties as an officer and later as an admiral. These exemplify her determination and facing adversity head on. So there's a little bit of difference between the characters, but each one has its particular advantages, its strengths and weaknesses. Again, as I've said before, these strengths and weaknesses can sometimes be one and the same. What you think might be a strength could also be a weakness. What you think might be a weakness could also be a strength. So that character, Elisa, would also embody determination, resilience, intelligence, intellect, and strategic insight, as well as her history having a connection to ancestral lineage, being the daughter of someone in higher rank in governance. Love and sacrifice, a bridge between technology and spirit. Leadership and transformation, and of course, the ultimate purpose of a quest for cosmic harmony. balance, alignment, and cosmic understanding. We can also take other fictional characters like the legendary Voltron. If you're like me from the period of the 70s, 80s, 90s, Gen X, then you might be familiar with the legendary Voltron, defender of the universe, right? Well, that character embodies several abstract magical qualities within the context of the Voltron universe. The power of unity and cooperation, big thing, because we're talking about a robot that's composed of five lions, each one representing some element. So each individual robot lion combines to form a greater whole. And this magical quality emphasizes that strength lies in the collaboration of the separate components, as well that the whole is sometimes greater than the sum of its components, sum of its parts. But each lion represents a unique aspect. Their synergy magnifies their individual abilities. And there's a balance of elemental forces. The five robotic lions, black, red, green, blue, yellow, represent these elemental forces, as I've said. So we have black that embodies space. Red signifies fire. Green represents earth. Blue symbolizes water. And yellow stands for air. When these elements combine, they create a balanced and formidable entity, which you can personify, perhaps to defend your region from the despair and the terror of war. This magical equilibrium ensures that Voltron, as a personified entity, can adapt to various challenges. A cosmic guardian serves to defend the universe against malevolent forces. Sometimes things are bigger than we can deal with on a mere psychical level. We can imagine a black hole spinning its way into our solar system. This might be well beyond your ordinary psychokinetic abilities to move that thing out of the way. However, if you've been working on this legendary entity personifying the combined forces of Voltron, perhaps by some cosmic coincidence, you could be the next hero pushing that black hole out of our vicinity and the Earth out of harm's way. Healing the sun. You think these things are impossible, but I believe the human mind transcends realms beyond mortal comprehension. And I believe the character of Voltron possesses a form of sentience that we should work with. It is more of than a mere machine. It harbors consciousness and the emotions of its pilots. And the bonds between the pilots and their robotic lions is magical fusion of technology, spirit, and shared purpose. This is the essence of psionics. And the connection enables them to synchronize and operate this wondrous construct we know as Voltron, the colossal robotic defender of the universe, with seamless precision and unwavering determination. As they meld their consciousness and emotions, I'm talking about the five elemental lions, their individual strengths become a harmonious whole, propelling them to face cosmic threats and to protect all that is dear to them. The image or icon, lords and ladies, that you infuse into a force or a concept that you choose to personify is effective based on your identification with the character you so choose to work with. If, for example, you didn't grow up in the 1950s like my former mentor did, and you weren't reading Flash Gordon comics, you're less likely to draw upon Flash Gordon as a personified thought form with any real degree of effectiveness. There's just that emotional and subconscious bond isn't there. However, if you were a few generations later, and you grew up reading the old comics, perhaps you're a fan, a comic book geek, and you did take the time to read and really enjoy that character, and you had strong feelings tied to this Flash Gordon fella, then of course, that's a different story altogether. Likewise, if you grew up in the 70s or 80s and you're familiar with some of the examples I just gave you of Robotech, Macross, perhaps Voltron, or maybe the Transformers, then these images may have enough subconscious impact on the forces that you attribute to these images. There is, as a matter of course, a means around this little snag of disassociation I mentioned earlier, to personify entities. The ones that you might be interested in, because they sound really great, you've read about them, and you are interested in using them, but you don't have that emotional connection yet. However, that particular area of psionics and radionics is, in some cases, psychotronic necromancy. It's typically beyond what most beginners should attempt when beginning to use personified beings in magic or psionics. I mean, it's okay to dial up Nikola Tesla and ask some questions, but if you're trying to put his image to work in the world, it's a little different. You would be relying upon how the rest of the world might respond to that idea, because there's not really a deep resonance with that person unless you've spent your whole life reading about him and you have a really strong emotional bond to the name of Nikola Tesla. Then, you know, maybe that might be different. It's a little outside the scope of this lecture to cover the means of splicing qualities from characters or egregores, collective thought forms, of which you are perhaps unfamiliar. Furthermore, even the most advanced magician will find these familiar images far more useful for constructing servitors or drawing power from well thought of heroes, champions, heroines of fiction or history. And this is because the deep resonance with familiar characters has nothing to do with whether the magician is a novice or an archmagus or a grand witch or wizard. The effectiveness in this case, in this methodology, the effectiveness is purely human psychology in general, combined with some very interesting properties of the mental energy world. And so far less with the degree of mastery of these subconsciously deified heroes or heroines. So the next step here, lords and ladies, is for you to join my club, or at least consider joining my club, and take some time each week to read my club newsletters, listen to my audio lectures, watch some videos on psionics metaphysics, and some fun magic exercises to help you master the creative force that is truly going to make you a success in the game of life and the pursuit of individual freedom. I usher you now, if you are so willing and ready, join Vrilok.club, VRILOCK.club, where witches and wizards keep the magic high. So until next time, keep the magic high. This is Air Doctor, signing out.